I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story. Batten down the hatches, secure the outdoor furniture and trampolines, and pull in your trash bins. Another windstorm is on the way for the northern Wasatch Front. The wind's expected to pick up as we close in on sunset, 8 o'clock tonight. And KSL News Radio's John Wojcik reports.
The National Weather Service of Salt Lake tweeting this morning that Park Lane has picked up gusts at 63 miles per hour. Areas of Ogden and Logan could still see winds around 60 miles per hour.
The wind could cause power outages and property damage in Davis and Weber counties, along with Cache and Bear River valleys. It should be less intense in the Salt Lake Valley. Strong crosswinds are expected across I-15, US 89, and 91, so be careful if you're in a high-profile vehicle. KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank says tomorrow afternoon, the wind is gone for a minute.
By tomorrow midday, these winds go away. The storm is upon us. Valley rain and mountain snow scattered on Wednesday into Thursday. Highs in the 50s, lows in the 30s. Southern Utah's also seeing winds. Not the east winds we're dealing with. They're getting winds ahead of the storm, and they're dealing with 40 to 50 mile an hour winds. So it's going to be a windy 24 hours across the state.
After the wind, you can expect rain in the valley Wednesday and Thursday. Snow in the canyons, 6 to 10 inches for the Cottonwood Canyons. Thursday night, it all dries up for a beautiful weekend with highs in the 60s and 70s. KSL News Time 502, you probably heard about the pause for the J&J vaccine. Six people developed severe blood clots, all women of childbearing years, who developed the clots 6 to 13 days after they got vaccinated. Well, 77,000 Utahns have received that J&J vaccine. The risk is low. But KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson tells you what you should watch out for.
Utah nurse Angela Keddington was part of the Johnson & Johnson trial in December. She says they were told in great detail that one out of the 60,000 test subjects did get blood clots. Still, she says she would do it again.
Them being ethically proactive is definitely the best thing to do.
Doctors say women of childbearing age are more likely to get clots anyway because of their hormones. ER Dr. Marion Bishop says these aren't exactly the blood clots most people think of.
This rare blood clot in the brain is in a little bit of a different category.
She says if you've received the vaccine in the past couple of weeks, look for symptoms like shortness of breath, headache, and abdominal pain. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
This pause leaves 53,000 doses sitting on the shelf unused here in Utah, and the state's immunization director is now worried that people will be scared away from getting vaccinated at all. Here's KSL News Radio's Mary Richards.
It's only a pause on the J&J version for now because six women had blood clots. That's six out of 6.8 million doses given. Rich Lakin with the Utah Health Department says, yes, it should be investigated. But he wants people to know these vaccines are incredibly safe and effective and will get us out of the pandemic.
Utah was supposed to get 4,900 J&J doses this week. Those appointments will be rescheduled or you'll be offered one of the other vaccines. If this vaccine gets the green light again, they'll administer those doses. There's no worry about shelf life. The CDC is figuring that this pause is going to last days, maybe weeks, not months. KSL News Time 504, a shakeup in a Minnesota police department after an officer shot and killed a young black man. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, both the police officer who fired the gun and the police chief today resigned from the Brooklyn Center Police Force. Mayor Mike Elliott says he's appointed two members of the department to be interim leaders.
We want to send the message to the community that we're taking the situation very seriously.
Officer Kim Potter and Police Chief Tim Gannon resigned their positions. Now, the chief said this week that he believed Officer Potter mistakenly pulled out her gun rather than her taser, resulting in the death of 20-year-old Dante Wright. Wright's family today calling for justice.
He was a good father. He loved his son. and he wanted to see him grow up.
A curfew is in place in the Twin Cities after two nights of protests. The defense in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has begun calling up witnesses today. Officer Peter Chang says he helped with crowd control during George Floyd's arrest.
I was becoming more loud and aggressive, a lot of yelling across the street.
Did that cause you any concern?
Concern for the officer's safety, yes.
Chauvin is facing murder charges after video showed him kneeling on Floyd's neck. The U.S. Army Quartet singing at a memorial service for Capitol Police Officer Willie Billy Evans.
Amazing grace.
Evans died Friday when he was attacked by a man who rammed his car into two police officers at a Capitol building barricade. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was among the speakers at today's service.
Officer Evans joins a pantheon of heroes who have given their lives to defend this Capitol.
Officer Evans is lying in honor in the Capitol Rotunda. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:05. First look traffic on the 5 o'clock report, and here's Len Thomas.
In Weber Davis counties, an I-15 northbound driver seeing a good pattern. Just a bit slow from Layton to Syracuse, and southbound drivers Roy to Clinton. I'm Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time, 5:06. Summit County wants to get teens vaccinated. KSL News Radio's Lindsay Ertz has details.
Teens 16 and 17 can only get the Pfizer vaccine, so Summit County Health Department's Immunization Director Derek Moss says they're bringing it to them.
We didn't have as much Pfizer in this county, and so 27% of our youth, we'll call them age 16 and then 17, have received a first dose, and only 3% have received both doses.
The clinic is next Monday, April 19th, from 10 to 8.
It'll be over at the just outside the Echo Center at the Park City High School.
Teens still have to sign up for an appointment. You can look for that soon on the County Health Department website. Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
A 65-year-old pilot crash-landed near Salt Air last night after losing control of his paramotor aircraft, sort of like a hang glider with an engine. Unified Police Lieutenant Manfred Lassig says a nearby nurse provided first aid, which may have saved the man's life.
Somebody who had the training and the knowledge was able to render immediate aid to assist him and help him out.
Officers say the man was speaking when emergency crews arrived and reportedly told the officers he plans to fly again. The family of a Salt Lake County Sheriff's deputy wounded in a weekend shooting issued a statement today. Joshua Berkey's family says they're grateful that he's here today. He was shot in the cheek, and the family wishes his partner a speedy recovery. They also expressed condolences to the family of the suspect who died in the incident. If you've been trying to buy a house lately, you know how bad the housing market is. Home builders say they're feeling the pinch, too. Ross Ford with the Utah Home Builders Association says the industry is in a perfect storm of shortages.
A lot of the lumber we use now is what we call an engineered lumber. So it's smaller pieces of lumber that are held together with glue. And when we had the bad weather down in Texas, the plant that makes the glue froze. And so it interrupted that supply of glue.
Ford told Inside Sources this afternoon that despite the supply shortages, Ford says demand for new homes is high as ever and even higher during the pandemic. KSL News Time 5:08. Time for my minute of news. We're brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. It's been a while since we checked in on the stupidity on TikTok, and along the way we missed the Feed Your Dog Hot Sauce Challenge. We also missed the Cover Your Face and Neck with Hot Wax Challenge.
Ow!
Yes, it goes in your mouth. Do I have to waste your time with a warning not to do this? I will spend a moment telling you the next stunt is so stupid you won't believe it, which means you might be tempted to try it. This one, you'd risk serious injury, and you have to make sure your kids don't try this. But there are millions and millions of TikTok views for deep-fried water. A chemist came up with this recipe. You combine water with a chemical that I won't give the name of, and it forms a sphere, a jelly-like bubble with water inside. You dip the sphere in flour, eggs, breadcrumbs, and you pop the batter-covered bubble into the deep fryer, and voila, deep-fried water. Unless the bubble breaks. Dr. Christopher Kramer tells the Daily Mail that water boils at a lower temperature than bubbling oil. So if the bubble springs a leak, you get a high-speed explosion and hot oil rains down on everything, including you. So whenever you hear a story about TikTok is the new place to find stocks, or TikTok is helping this group or that group, or how it's changing the world, keep in the back of your mind, TikTok is still filled with epic stupidity.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 9s. On the ride into the afternoon, the main flow of I-15 working well coming out of the downtown ramps. The usual slowing developing Murray to Midvale. Northbound drivers seeing no delay from the Living Planet Aquarium to the downtown ramps. And if you're on the 201 freeway, you're seeing that usual slowing that seems to develop every time this afternoon right near 7200 West in either direction, mostly westbound toward Magna. Michelle?
Well, we still have this crash westbound I-80 at Lake Point. You're going to see the delays as you're going between Lake Point and Mills Junction on SR-36. For drivers in Utah County, seeing good speeds down there. We do have these delays, though. This is due to construction southbound Highway 40 in the Mayflower area on the west side of Jordanelle. Steve?
Well, we're usually packed in with slowdowns right now, northbound 15 in Davis County. But right now, lighter traffic this afternoon. Do have slowdowns, though, at the Layton Hills Mall up to Antelope Drive. Southbound 15 slowing down from Riverdale to Roy. Anyhour Services Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, ready to help, and continues to take precautions to limit your exposure as Utah reopens. Google Anyhour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 9s. Kevin Eubank has the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report. An hour-by-hour description as the wind moves in.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, we're looking at cloudy skies and 50s along the Wasatch Front. Winds 15 to 20 miles an hour, and that's how it's going to stay through the evening. Temperatures kind of hover in those low 50s all the way through 8 o'clock, upper 40s by 9 and 10. Stronger wind gusts north of Salt Lake City. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
Now, the wind picks up after sunset, which comes at 8:05 tonight. It's 54 degrees right now in Salt Lake City. The wind's out of the northeast. It's 17 miles an hour. KSL News Time 5:12. And we go in depth with Maria Chaleos.
Jeff, hundreds of fires have been spreading across Nepal since November. It's the worst wildfire season in a decade. As large swaths of Nepal and some northern parts of India continue to burn, the smoke and the ash have caused air pollution levels to spike. Now, villagers regularly set fires to trees to create charcoal, to scare animals out of hiding so they can hunt them, or even to clear areas in the hopes of encouraging the growth of mushrooms or new grasses. Now, the problem is there's been very little rain, 75% less than average. According to Nepal's Disaster Risk Reduction Agency, more than 2,700 fire incidents were reported between mid-November and the last week of March. Jeff?
Thanks, Maria. Members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are sheltering in church buildings on the island of St. Vincent. We get details from KSL News Radio's Don Brinkerhoff.
A press release from the church says there were no missionaries on the island when the La Soufriere volcano erupted last Friday. There are, however, more than 700 members of the church who live on the island. A church self-reliance and welfare manager says 44 of those members from 15 families are now sheltering inside the Kingston Church meeting house. A generator has been brought in to ensure power for the building, and food and water are available, with more being brought in soon. The church is preparing to ship goods from Puerto Rico to help with relief efforts across the island within the next few days. Don Brinkerhoff, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:13. We have developing news on KSL News Radio. Utah Highway Patrol and UDOT are planning to issue a high-profile vehicle restriction in Davis County as the wind picks up. UHP is asking you to begin to avoid the area if you drive a high-profile vehicle. We're going to keep you updated on the latest. We're watching closely here at KSL News Radio. One of the stories we're following on the 5 o'clock report, people flock to Gunlock Waterfalls every year to watch the water spill out of the reservoir. KSL News Radio's Kara Hoffemeyer is live and says, save yourself the trip. Kira?
Jeff, you could go, but you're not going to see any waterfalls. Low snowpack means water levels at Gunlock aren't rising. This year, the National Resources Conservation Service says snowpack is at 32% of average. In 2019 and 2020, when the reservoir was really spilling over to create those waterfalls everyone flocks to, there was well over 120% average snowpack. The waterfalls are a huge attraction, but the massive number of visitors and accidents that came along with them prompted the Water District to lower water levels at the reservoir last May. St. George News reports the reservoir itself is only about half full and it's unlikely to fill at all this year. Drought is on the mind of county and state officials, with the governor issuing a state of emergency back in mid-March. If you do decide to take the trip, Jeff, I would recommend that you scoot over to Vail and try the pie place instead.
All right, there's some alternate advice. Trending on social media, Dwayne Johnson for president. 46% of those surveyed say if The Rock becomes president, they're good with it.
If you're some man, what The Rock
is cooking. Here's The Rock's statement about this poll. I don't think our founding fathers ever envisioned a 6'4", bald, tattooed, half black, half Samoan, tequila drinking, pickup driving, fanny pack wearing guy joining their club. If it ever happens, it'd be my honor to serve. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
official face mask exemption cards, not real. Department of Health officials say they're getting reports of people flashing these official-looking cards in schools and businesses. I'm KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson.
Second, strong wind is on the way, along with a foot of snow for the mountains. Northern Utah will see strong gusts, maybe 60 to 85 miles per hour, especially Davis County and points north. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot.
Freeways moving pretty well along the Wasatch Front. I-15 is a bit slow. Northbound Layton to Antelope Drive and southbound Salt Lake Valley at the South Interchange. Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center.
A storm is knocking on the door and the gusty winds continue tonight. I'm Kevin Eubank.
Breezy and 54 degrees now. KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The chief of police in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, has resigned, along with the officer who fatally shot a 20-year-old man during a traffic stop earlier this week. Mayor Mike Elliott.
I'm hoping that this will help bring some calm to the community. Although, I think ultimately people want justice. They want, full accountability under the law.
And that is what the family of the man who was killed, Dante Wright, is demanding. His aunt, Naisha.
My nephew's blood is on y'all.
Tell him, Naisha.
I've never seen my brother hurt like this before. Never!
Prosecutors will decide by tomorrow whether to file charges against the officer, Kim Potter. Tough cross-examination for a defense witness in the trial of a former Minneapolis police officer.
Prosecutors questioning defense use of expert Barry Broad, asking how he thinks Derek Chauvin's use of force was reasonable after George Floyd passed out.
He's not resisting. He's not talking. It's not possible, is it?
To do what?
Resist.
I think it's definitely possible to resist.
When you passed out. He's not doing it here, is he?
Not when he's passed out, no.
And as the prosecution established, Derek Chauvin's knee remained on Floyd's neck for a number of minutes after Floyd went unconscious. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
President Biden is confident the U.S. will have enough available COVID-19 vaccine, even without one of them.
There's enough vaccine that is basically 100% unquestionable for every single solitary American.
The FDA is recommending a nationwide pause in Johnson & Johnson's vaccine to investigate reports of rare but potentially dangerous blood clots. Leaders on the Caribbean island of St. Vincent say ash from an active volcano is contaminating water, which is already in short supply. The eruptions cost hundreds of millions of dollars in damage. You're listening to ABC News.
Now the KSL In-Depth. Many doctors and health experts are supporting the CDC and FDA's guidance to pause the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Emergency room physician Dr. Marion Bishop joined Utah's Noon News today and said while rare, the blood clotting issues reported are serious.
First of all, if you got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine 6 weeks ago, you really are out of the woods. But, if you're a woman of childbearing age, from 18 to 50 or so, and recently received the vaccine, If you develop a headache, if you become short of breath, if you develop any stroke-like symptoms, those are all reasons to go to the ER. This is a rare kind of blood clot that happens in the brain. Most blood clots that we think about preventing are blood clots that happen in the leg and then travel to the lungs, and we can prevent those with exercise and things like that. This rare blood clot in the brain is a little bit of a different category.
As for why these blood clots are only happening to women, Dr. Bishop says it's unclear, but they have a few ideas.
Women's immune systems are a little different from men's for many reasons, in part because women have to give birth. And pregnancy and childbirth kind of sets up the immune system to behave in slightly different ways than men's. And so some of those differences, and they're very nuanced, may be connected to this trouble with the vaccine.
Unfortunately, Dr. Bishop shares the concern of many doctors that people will be more hesitant to get a vaccine moving forward.
I do a little bit, and I'm reassured that both the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines have been very safe and continue to be given. Many people who are scheduled for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine today are already being, you know, kind of rerouted and connected with Moderna and Pfizer. And I understand that people might be cautious once they hear this news, but I would much rather have the CDC chase down those six cases and then, you know, reassess who to give the vaccine to and how they can use it safely, then ignore this. And so they talked about an abundance of caution, and I think that's exactly what it is. COVID is a scary disease, and vaccination is really important, and we want people to feel confident about that.
The J&J pause shouldn't lead to any of the 53,000 or so doses in Utah going to waste. The CDC says the investigation should only last a few days or weeks. It shouldn't cause any shelf life issues for the existing J&J vaccine here in Utah. KSL News Time, 5:20. A bit late, but let's get you up to speed. Triple Team traffic now, and here's Len Thomas.
As you make your way on I-15 in the Salt Lake Valley, southbound is bogging just a bit, Murray to Midvale. But northbound 15, a clean drive. The delays on the 201 increasing just a bit westbound toward Magna. And just heard in the scanners of a crash on Rudderd Road at 7200 South. We'll check that out. Michelle?
Well, we still have these slowdowns. This is southbound SR36 between Lake Point to Mills Junction. Also, KSL traffic troopers telling us that we have snow that is starting to fall at the junction of I-80 and Highway 40. Those southbound delays are still there on Highway 40 in the Mayflower area, and also a little bit of slowing on Pioneer Crossing in Utah County. Steve?
Well, northbound 15 rolling free and clear from downtown Salt Lake City into Davis County. Then you have slowdowns at the Layton Parkway up to about 700 South, and it clears just a bit. Then more backups in Clearfield due to a brand new crash at 5600 South and Roy. Got the left lane closed there. That's creating those delays. Southbound 15 slowdowns, Riverdale to Roy. Get 0% APR on balance transfers and purchases up to 6 months, plus low rates and rewards with a new credit card from Cypress Credit Union. For details, visit cypresscu.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together on the nines, and here's your 7-day forecast with Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Gusty winds today have subsided a bit during the daytime hours, but they'll re-intensify tonight ahead of our next storm. We've got our valley rain and mountain snow developing on Wednesday with a high of 55. Scattered showers will linger on Thursday, and then it all moves out. By the time it's done, I think the northern mountains and the canyons will get anywhere from 6 to 10 inches of snow. And then the storm is out of here. By Friday, Saturday, we're back to sunshine for the weekend. Highs going from the 50s to the 60s. Southern Utah will return to the 80s. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
So we get a little extra sugar on the mountaintops. It's 55 degrees in Salt Lake City. You've been listening to the 5 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time, 5:23. We keep on.
Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News, only on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.